96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. After paying a debt to society, returning citizens often have it rough. Fitting in and finding their place is hard enough. But what about finding a job or even striking out on their own to start a business? Hard to do without help. Well, next week, the Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation is holding an event to help returning citizens do just that. And we're talking about it tonight. My guests are Walter Simmons, Executive Director of Workforce Services at the Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation, David Maloney, President of Maloney Investments and a former returning citizen, and Marcus Bullock, founder and CEO of Flick Shop, also a former returning citizen. If you have questions, if you have comments, if you are a returning citizen or know a returning citizen who is looking for some help in getting established, finding a job, starting a business, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Hey, guys, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having us.
No problem. So let me start with you, Walter. Talk to me a little bit about why it is so difficult for returning citizens to get on firm foundation when it comes to jobs and careers and the like.
To plain and simple, we aren't rehabilitating people anymore. We're jailing them, we're housing them, and releasing them without resources. So thousands, hundreds of thousands of people return every year into our communities with no resources, no knowledge, no help and assistance. And in the DMV, that's thousands. You know, Brookings just released a report that said 60% of returning citizens within 1 year of coming home are still unemployed. There's nothing out there. There's no dedicated resources. We're not providing resources before they leave, after they leave. And a lot of people feel like they're alone, which is why in Prince George's County, we started Reentry Month. One event is nice, but it doesn't really move the needle. We wanted to dedicate a month on top of everything we do throughout the year to let people know the resources are here. They're available. Here's where you can take advantage of them. And right now, 35% of all of Maryland's incarcerated population come from Prince George's County alone. Mm-hmm. So that's thousands of people who are just left out. So we want to bring the resources available and events like we have next week to bring people who are testimonies and success stories to even show them that there is a path. People can see that through these gentlemen we have today, they can see their future through what these two gentlemen are doing.
And I wanted to go to both of you because, you know, both of you, as I said, are, you know, returning, you know, citizens. You know, Marcus, you own Flick Shop. It's an app that helps families connect to loved ones while they're incarcerated, but you were behind bars for 8 years, carjacking, attempted robbery, use of a firearm, commission of a felony. When you got out, how was it when you first came home?
Yeah, you know what? Very interesting time and chapter of my life. You know, this was during the time when, you know, I'm 23 years old. I went to prison when I was 15.
Okay.
Mind you, right? So, I served 8 years as a teenager growing up inside of these adult facilities with very little training to prepare me to actually come home and be successful. So looking for employment was, while I thought it was going to be an easy thing to do, it was one of the most challenging things ever because not only did I had to deal with the lack of skill that I knew that I was walking into any one of these establishments saying that I didn't have, but I also didn't have the interpersonal skills and how to work underneath a different kind of authority than I had experienced for the last 8 years of my life. All of these things combined created a recipe for what ended up to be almost a year without employment after release. When I'm thinking that day one, as hungry as I am, as bad as I wanted, I would be able to find a job.
So during that year, what was your plan?
Yeah, so my plan was literally to just hop on every metro bus and train that I could that would take me to any one of the places that would say, hey, Marcus, we'll give you a shot. The reality of it is that even though I realized that I knew that I was walking around with this big F on my chest that stood for felony, I never thought that it was going to be that challenging to come out and actually gain employment. So I thought, you know, job application, you get your head bust up against these no's over and over again, and then some other pressures that I didn't want to have started to creep into my life. The people, the old friends, the old opportunities that could, possibly lent to a better lifestyle post-prison. But I knew that I didn't want to put my mom through that again, so I had to figure out a better way.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about helping returning citizens get on their feet when it comes to jobs, careers, even starting their own business. There are some events that are coming up that we're going to talk about in just a second that are being sponsored by the Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation, events for returning citizens. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. David, you're president of Maloney Investments, an investment firm.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but you're also a returning citizen. Briefly, tell me about your situation.
Similar to Marcus's situation, I actually got out of jail and didn't have the same type of opportunities that I knew that I needed to be successful, and basically keep on pace with my peers. So the work that I was doing was temporary labor intensive jobs that I knew wouldn't pay or sustain my life. Of course, when you're just coming home from prison, they put you on parole and you have two options. You either need to be in school or you need to be working. And most people choose to go the working route. But then I took a step back and looked at the situation, and I calculated the amount of time that it would take for me to get to a fair salary for me to, you know, start a family or buy a home or, you know, live the American dream. And I figured out that, you know, I probably could just go ahead and go to school and give it a try and see if the opportunities would open up if I had a degree behind my name. Mm-hmm. So I took that route, just rolled the dice, ended up getting into school, and had so many doors open to me through federal work study, on-campus gigs, things of that nature. And just basically just took it from there, learned what I needed to learn to be successful and marketable in the industry.
Talk to me real quick, Walter, about next week, because I want to go to the phone lines in just a bit. There's a lot going on. Kind of give me the nutshell explanation of what resources are available.
On March 27th at 6:30, we're going to bring these two gentlemen back and a host of resources to talk about how returning citizens can join the path of these two, go from job seekers to job creators. How can they have the tools and what they need to prepare for to start a business? On the 27th and 28th, all day in the American Job Center, we're going to be doing career readiness seminars, resume prep, interview, dress for success, job application assistance to run them into March 29th, which, as you know, is the end of the reentry month in Prince George County. And we cap it off with the Second Chance Job Fair. Over 20 employers there who are there, willing, committed, have openings, and are willing to hire people to have a criminal record who are returning citizens. So we have a jam-packed week, starting with, do you want to start a business? On to, do you even just want to get out and want to get a job? So March 27th through March 29th at the American Job Center, we're going to be preparing people to be job seekers or job creators. And it's going to be a slam week with opportunities.
Now, where is the American Job Center?
1801 McCormick Drive in Largo, Maryland. To make it easier, if you want to get all these updates, American Job Center Largo on Facebook or PrinceGeorge'sWorkforce.org to give you a layout how you can RSVP. If businesses are listening tonight like last year, mm-hmm, that said they wanted to hire and they wanted to get out there, you can call us at 301-618-8445. If you're a job seeker trying to figure out how you can get access, 301-618-8445. So we're open for businesses and job seekers. And on March 27th, really taking advantage of these two gentlemen right here and what they've done and how they've transformed their life to see how you can can be that next person. You could be the next CEO of Flick Shop.
I need to go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Maurice calling from D.C. Maurice, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. First of all, I want to say, how you doing, Marcus? This is Maurice Dixon.
What's going on, Maurice, man?
Ain't too much. Owner of Reese's Catering Services. And
absolutely.
I do want to say that it is imperative that we find opportunities, because I, too, am a return citizen. Marcus and I sat on a panel for National Black Chamber of Commerce last summer talking about this very same topic. And it is important because I believe that once we have an opportunity, we can create opportunities to hire others who are return citizens, because it's hard for us out here because no one want to give us a shot.
Okay.
You know?
Well, Marcus, Maurice, thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. I got a lot of folks on, but I appreciate you providing that inspirational comment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Greg calling from D.C. Greg, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you, gentlemen, for having this comment, these conversations. I would like to know, is there a plan to go inside of the jail to prep the inmates before they come out, before they get stagnant? Because I work in a local jail in the metropolitan area, and I'm finding the recidivism rate is high because there's a lack of opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. We're currently in the Upper Marlboro Correctional Facility right now doing 6-week training sessions, preparing people for when they're released. And we also go out to all the Maryland facilities, on out to Jessup, letting them know the connections that are available and starting that process to prep them. But in the local area, we do 6-week cohorts in Upper Marlboro, preparing them for release. And I know the district has programs that they're going on at the D.C. jail. But in Prince George's County, we spend 6 weeks. We send 2 staff, and we work with female and male prisoners, and that's a lot of people forget. There's not a lot of resources for female incarcerated people when they return.
David, thank you so much for your phone call. We're going to continue this conversation in just a bit. We're talking about returning citizens, giving them an opportunity for jobs, careers, even starting their own businesses, giving them a leg up when they come back home. So please stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Wes Hall is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about helping returning citizens find jobs, start businesses. My guests are Walter Simmons, Executive Director of Workforce Services at the Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation. Also David Maloney, President of Maloney Investments and a former returning citizen, and Marcus Bullock, Founder and CEO of Flick Shop. He's also a former returning citizen. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have a question or a comment about getting some assistance for your returning citizens, if you're perhaps related to one, or if you're a friend of one, or if you are a returning citizen and you are interested in trying to figure out how to get that employment foundation after coming back, now is the time to give us a call. Let me go to David. David calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, David. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm also a returning citizen, and I took a menial job coming home, you know, and really didn't have any work background. But they did accept me as a felon. But the work, you know, I've been there a couple years. And I was just looking for the opportunity to advance something, you know, something more worthwhile and more with more value in it for me. And I was wondering if that was the case with this job fair or what's going on in this job center.
Yeah, we're going to have multiple opportunities in in IT, hospitality, healthcare, warehouse distribution. David, you need to come check us out March 29th from 9 a.m. to 12:30 to see what you're interested in. What I would say to you is try to get in on the 27th or 28th through the career readiness session just to make sure your resume is on point, your interview skills, so that you can be ready to see what's available. And if things don't work out, we have multiple industry bridge programs in the county that are designed to put people into the desired industry to make a livable wage, a middle-class wage.
Right.
So come check us out March 29th, 9 a.m., David. Give us a call. Come in. We want to start working with you, brother.
Okay. That'll be great. I'm just going to go ahead and take off, but I'm going to take off and take this leap.
Okay.
I feel as though this is what it is.
Well, David, thank you so much for your phone call. What's that website also? Because I want to tell our listeners that all of the information, the websites and the phone numbers will be on WHUR.com after the program. But for those listening right now who may want to go online, what's the website?
PrinceGeorge'sWorkforce.org. Again, that's PrinceGeorge'sWorkforce.org.
Okay. So, Michelle calling from Laurel. Michelle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to just say that I am a Prince George's County resident that is doing some work in Prince George's County in the health field, and that I do refer my clients over to Prince George's workforce, in which they do not really know that is a service that their tax dollar pays for. And they are so surprised that each member in the house that can go to that service. I also am familiar with Mr. Pete Goodson, who does pretty good work with our clients. When our clients come in, they come in for a checkup. And some of them are in so great a need of work, and they don't know where to look. They look in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. They ask friends and stuff, and that is one place that they can go to with pride because they know they have done some work in the county, but they feel like, where can I go when I need employees?
Okay,
I send them there, they're like, oh, thank you.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Michelle, I think you make an excellent point, and you're nodding your head, Marcus. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was first introduced to the center as well, I mean, a friend of mine introduced me to the center, and when I met Walter, I walked into the one stop that was the name of it at the time, and I'm like, oh my, I couldn't believe the resources. I'll tell you, when I was in cell C13 or cell B21. To be honest, I never knew that these kinds of resources, not only did they exist, that there were enough people that actually cared. And then you go into, you know, the workforce center, and not only do you learn about the opportunities surrounding employment, but it's a holistic program where, you know, you start talking about mental health issues and referrals for insurance and all of these other, you know, things that, you know, we just forget about as parts of our normal everyday living. I'm grateful to be a part of it and help out in any way I can. And I'm really grateful to you, Walter, man, for spearheading this. I mean, your leadership shows throughout the entire staff. And I mean, even all the way down to the compliment about Mr. Goodson. I mean, he's awesome. And I can co-sign that.
And that's something.
Michelle, thank you so much for your phone call. Go right ahead.
And that's something else, Harold. Our job center is the only job center in the region that has a full-time staff attorney. So you don't have to wait for an expungement clinic once every 3-4 months. Monday through Thursday, you can come in and start working with somebody to see what charges you can get removed from your record. We do federal bonding. We do all kind of referrals to healthcare assistance. Anything you need, you can come in, because we do, as Marcus said, we try to make it a holistic approach, because if you're hungry or you don't have a roof over your head, mm-hmm. you just need a job, but that's really the last thing you're thinking about. So that's something that we do offer, and we're the only job center in this region that has a lawyer, full-time attorney on site in the job center.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. David, what advice do you have for a returning citizen who is struggling right now and trying to really find their way? Because on one hand, as Walter just suggested, you want a job, but then you may have dreams, you may have aspirations of a career, of owning your own business. Talk to me about the mindset for someone in that situation.
Okay, I always I'm from the school of thought that education is key. It doesn't have to be conventional education in terms of going to a 4-year college or a 2-year college. Sometimes you can just invest a little bit of time and energy into yourself and learn a skill in an unconventional way. Something that's marketable. Of course, you have to be exploratory. You have to be hungry. And also, you have to have a higher standard for yourself. Set that standard for yourself to know that just because you have a pass and you have a blemish on your record and you have that type of weight that you're carrying around, you don't have to make that your future. Mm-hmm. Just looking ahead to the future and envisioning a goal and a place that you want to be, whether it be through the 4-year institutions or through a career school or through someone who basically is already in the game doing it and just getting up underneath their wing. You just really have to find your own way. And a lot of people who've been down that road before are your best resources.
Same question for you, Marcus. When you said you went an entire year, how do you keep your head up as you are trying to move through this process, moving from that world of incarceration to the rest of society?
Yeah. I mean, so my path is filled with a bunch of failures. So the first thing I want to tell you is to fail as fast as you can.
Explain that.
Well, don't be afraid of bumping your head. Look, I'll tell you one of the biggest reasons why I'm able to be an entrepreneur that's growing, you know, one of the fastest growing apps in the App Store is because we aren't really afraid of failure. Worst case scenario, and I know this may sound crazy, but worst case scenario, it doesn't work out for me. The reality of it is that most people counted me out well before I started whatever venture I started anyway. So if I don't succeed in this one particular thing, then it just, all it did was it gives me opportunity to be able to learn, right? I mean, they've talked about that, like unconventional learning. For me, I tell my family all the time, this is just paid tuition. Whenever I, you know, fail and bump my head up against something, whenever I lose money here, whenever I miss the bus and can't catch my right train to get to the next one, this was a learning experience. One, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You have from now on, however long that from now on is, you have from now on in order to be able to build the new you. Most of us listen to the noise. When we hear the noise all around us, we get caught up inside of it, and then we use that as our barometers for success. When we kind of sort of back away from that, understanding it's a marathon, don't pay attention to the noise, and fail fast, I promise you, on the other end of it, you'll be able to tell a story that paints a picture of what real success looks like. It wasn't easy for you to be able to get this radio show, but it was because of your failures, your ability to desire to want to succeed no matter what it is in order to be able to get here. That's the reason why you're here sitting here today with us right now. That's the reason why you're leading the conversations. It's the same thing for these men and women that are coming out of these cells, right? Like, fail fast, don't listen to the noise, connect yourself with as many positive people you can that you can, and remember, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kim calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Kim. What's on your mind? Kim, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, my comment is, what do we do as parents to try to keep encouraging them, even once they're past 18, past 20? My son's 34 now, and his biggest problem is finding that job, somebody's going to give him a chance once he returned home. And this is what landed him back in jail right this second, not being able to find that job and looking for that fast dollar to feed his family. I'm just looking for a way to help him. You guys have any advice for me?
I would say one thing from a job center standpoint, there's a weekly job club that was mentioned that we have, American Job Center. It's facilitated to allow people like your son to meet other like-minded people in that struggle to mm-hmm. have those conversations, because they can relate to what he's saying and still give him that push. I know that's something every week those guys, 15 guys get in there and they talk about, hey, this is what I'm seeing, what you're seeing. I'm in the same struggle, brother. Stay strong, because it takes a community to move us forward.
Okay. Can I get a phone number or something that I can have him contact someone once he comes home?
301-618-8425. 301 618-8425, and tell them you're looking for reentry services.
Yes, indeedy. Well, God bless you guys, and thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kim. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Michael, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Michael. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm a little different from Marcus and the other guys. I'm over 50, and I came home in 2007 and went back to UDC and got my bachelor's degree, graduated magna cum laude, two classes away from my MBA, and also have a scholarship to go to the University of West Virginia to get a PhD. But I can't find a job because something I did in 1987. You know what I mean? And I've always been the type of person that will save every dime I get. You know what I mean? So I've started a little mobile car detailing business, and I got I just put a book out like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago called Over 20 Years of Disaster. And, you know, it tells about my story as being able not to find a job because of something I did 30 years ago, you know?
Well,
what kind of advice do you have for me at 53, you know what I mean, with all this education and can't find a job?
Well, you're obviously motivated. You have that drive. You have
to be motivated.
Yeah, you got the entrepreneurial spirit.
I don't have no backbone. I don't have no mother. I don't have no father. And I got to eat.
Right. But you have to define one thing I had to learn. I have to define what success looks like to me, because success is not the same for everyone. Some people give success a monetary value. Some people give success a quality of life value. Some people put it, you know, around their family and things that don't have a materialistic value at all. But definitely learning and coming from a point of not having an education to having that education is an accomplishment in itself. So you're already successful. You're creating your own pathways with your entrepreneurial spirit, with the car washing or the car deal. I'm sorry. But what I did, I started to get a little bit of traction in my career path, but I started to see that monetarily, the type of work that I'm doing and the amount of money that I'm making, it wasn't going to sustain me for the future. I'm putting in long hours at the job, basically giving away my time and my freedom to a company that really, you know, even though I'm an employee, doesn't care about me. So I started doing things on the side and having a side hustle. So I started the business, the Maloney Investments, and basically just basically had a strategy for passive income with rentals. And you're already on that path. So you're making your own lanes. You just have to really tap into those other avenues to increase your success and make sure that you have a clear vision of what defines your success.
I think that's a good way to end this segment. But when we come back, and Michael, thank you so much for calling. But when we come back, I'm going to talk about some of the other realities, because not every business that you start, you can start with no money. You're going to need some help, and you're going to need to know where to go and how that's done. We're still talking about it. Help for returning citizens, 202-319-7810, 202-3- Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about helping returning citizens find jobs, start careers, start businesses. Of course, my guests are Walter Simmons, Executive Director of Workforce Services at the Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation, David Maloney, President of Maloney Investments and a former returning citizen, and Marcus Bullock, the founder and CEO of Flick Shop. He is also a returning citizen. If you have questions or comments, we're still taking phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Zero. Walter, let's talk about money, because as I said before the break, a lot of returning citizens may want to start their own business, and getting loans or getting investors may be a particularly steep hill to climb. Your thoughts about that? What about resources for something like that?
One, we got to be honest, because we have to drive policy that benefits our community. A ton of minorities are returning home every year, and there is true discrimination in 2018. As a returning citizen, you can't walk into a traditional bank and get a loan, not because your credit's low, not because you don't have a job, but because you have a criminal record. And that is surprising, but that's real. So one, everybody needs to call your elected official and let them know, like, how is that right? How is that a fair practice that, as the gentleman mentioned, something from the 80s could prevent you from getting a loan, even with a 720 credit score, just because of your record? So what we're trying to do is identify opportunities like Life Asset that'll be at our March 27th entrepreneurship seminar that does provide micro lending to returning citizens, minorities, and generally populations that don't qualify for traditional funding through a bank. They're micro loans. They're from $500 to $5,000, but there's something to kind of spark a small business. But it also goes at being non-traditional like Marcus and looking at different opportunities to find loans. You want to stay away from the hard money loan, which is the private loan lender that you get in the mail. That's a 39% interest rate. Or some penalty and crazy, but you might want to be able to develop a smart business plan. Like a lot of times when people come in our office to say, what do you want to do? We say, why? What is your passion? Have you done your research? Developing a great business plan can allow you to look at investors, non-traditional funding, business owners in the region that help you. But you're going to have to be creative. If you can't find a place like Life Asset, based out of D.C., operating in Maryland as well, or micro lending, looking at funding and grant opportunities, you're going to have to hit the pavement. But it's a process that we need to work on. But there is some options, and that's going to be part of our discussions. And you got two gentlemen here that have gone both different routes in trying to understand that route of getting a loan, but understand how you can be successful. It's not a closed door. It's a tight window, but it's not closed.
Marcus, did you need financing to get your business started?
Well, FlickShop wasn't my first business. I started another business before FlickShop, which is that first job that I got at a paint store. I was working at a paint store right up on 15th and P Streets in Northwest, and got moved to 14th and Clifton. I was the guy that mixed up the paint. And then while I was working at the paint store, I started a small painting business. Now, I didn't know that I was going to grow this painting business until we came, you know, became a full construction firm a few years later. But again, running that marathon, I started off and I just wanted to run slow laps. We grew that painting business. We generated enough revenue where I knew that the importance of keeping those connections strong for our families was going to be important. It was a passion of mine. Well, we didn't just stop at the construction company. So we took the revenue that we generated from out of that construction business and then dumped it into the tech company that we run today.
But with the painting business, did you need to have some kind of starting funds at all, or did you need any money to start that at all?
Well, I didn't know that there were options out there to go get money. So I literally came to your house. I told you I would paint your kitchen. I asked you for a deposit on your project for $300. I took, you know, that $150 deposit and went and go bought me, you know, probably some rollers and some paint brushes and some drop cloths. And I came in and I painted your house. I didn't make a bunch of money, but I took that money and I saved it and I did that thing and replicated it over and over and over again for several years before we actually began to generate real revenue.
So you were self-funding, essentially.
We're bootstrappers, man. We're bootstrappers. You know, for a lot of us that come out of these prison cells, not only do we not know that these kinds of programs that Walter is talking about exist, and I'm so grateful for them now, because if I had that opportunity, I would have put in that application, right, and got that $1,000 loan and it would have enabled me to buy a spray machine maybe, and then I could have painted even more houses and got to the money a lot faster. But most of us, we don't know it. We don't know. We're fearful of those kinds of opportunities. We don't think that, you know, I have a ninth grade education. Ninth grade, right? I mean, you can't tell me that you can't do it. When people tell me they can't do it, I look at them like, look, man, if you really wanted it, you'll go out here and go get it. You'll sacrifice and go do all the things that you need to do in order to be able to make sure you thrive. Mm-hmm. That's what entrepreneurship is about.
And what about you, David? Did you need any funding when you started your business when you returned?
Absolutely. I actually didn't start my business immediately after I returned. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I went the academic route. So, that enabled me to, use a little bit of delayed gratification and, you know, save up some money to start my own business. And basically what I did with that, lump sum of money that I saved up, I threw it directly into a property. And I use that as a model. I actually bought my first home. Now, my first home was a house that I actually rented bedrooms in. So when I say the delayed gratification, a lot of people aren't willing to do that. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the economics of it, I mean, you're basically, you have to live somewhere anyways, you know, you have to have a roof over your head. And why not make the house a true asset and have money coming in from that house instead of actually making a liability and paying money on it.
Well, I heard several things. Marcus mentioned he's got a ninth grade education. Obviously, you have considerably more. But something Marcus said earlier, much, much earlier in this conversation, he was talking about family. When you came out, you had some support.
Oh, my goodness. My mom, my sister, I mean, my grandmother, my family was everything.
Mm-hmm. What about you, David? Did you have support when you came out?
The best support system in the world. My parents, I definitely, hats off, mm-hmm. hats off.
Not everybody has that. And you both know that that is the reality
Absolutely.
Of it. Because you have parents, you had a place to put your head and a place to think and to plan. And I would argue the immediacy of trying to live was not as big of an issue as it is for some returning citizens. So for those who come out with very little support, what do you tell them?
I think from a job center standpoint, really come into a center or somewhere, identify a resource online. Even people don't realize even Facebook has a reentry roundtable that provides leads. Find some place where you can start generating some support and build from there. But as these two gentlemen mentioned, you're really going to have to think unconventionally to find your resources. But start by trying to identify some backbone and think about it. It's not going to be your traditional backbone, but there's people out there who are willing to work with you.
Absolutely.
And you got to take it one foot, one at a time.
And I actually rent a unit to a returning citizen right now. There are nonprofits out there that are geared towards helping people find places to live, have shelter. The nonprofit I'm talking about is Project Place up in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. This particular organization pays the rent for this individual to allow them to get on their feet.
Mm-hmm. I have a few minutes left, and please go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I meant to interrupt you.
No, go right ahead.
I'm actually glad that you asked that question. One of the things that I think it helps to give a little bit of context of how the mobile app Flick Shop works. Our users are able to take a picture, add some quick text, press send, and for 99 cents, we are able to take that picture and text, print it on a real tangible postcard, and mail it to any person in any facility anywhere in the country. Now, the reason why we built this mobile app was because the reality of it is that the majority of us are not going to go home and write a letter. We aren't going to print a photo off of our phone. We aren't going to go buy an envelope. We aren't going to go buy postage. And these are all of the things that you need in order to be able to communicate with someone that's in prison. Unfortunately, these facilities do not have access to the internet, Facebook, Twitter, text messaging, emailing, all of these things that we're used to today. And these are the beginning, the entry roads to the way that the majority of us actually attain a career.
But how do you monetize that, though?
Well, each user pays 99 cents. Now, we aren't trying to make a bunch of money. For me, we really want to connect our families. We believe that if we can continue to keep the families connected while they're there, then we can continue to create that long-term connection that will allow them to be able to come home and be successful because they understand the dog you just bought and the kiss you just had shared with your girlfriend last week that we all saw on Facebook that they aren't able to see. Now, what we did with Flick Shop, because we have so many people inside of these facilities who don't have a family member, we opened up the Flick Shop Angels. And if there are any listeners who have the opportunity to be able to, and they want to contribute to those people in these cells who do not have a family, become a Flick Shop Angel. Go to flickshopangels.com, FlickShop. Angels.com, and you can not only help keep our families connected, but you can be a part of the community that lets people know about these resources, and you can become a part of the connection as well.
Final word quickly from you, Mark, David.
As a returning citizen, I mean, just honestly, you just have to be motivated. That's the number one thing. You have to be more motivated, and you have to take every day as an opportunity to enhance yourself. Every day you wake up in the morning, you're recreating yourself in a newer version than the day before. So if you basically set goals for yourself, mini goals for yourself, short-term goals for yourself, things and avenues that you want to try, even if you don't succeed the first time, like Marcus said, at least it's an educational experience.
Well, I want to thank all of you for coming in and talking to us tonight. Marcus Bullock, David Maloney, and of course, Walter Simmons. I appreciated all of the information that we've discussed tonight, including information about Marcus Bullock and David Maloney. It'll be on our website on WHUR.com this evening after about 8:30 or so. So again, gentlemen, congratulations. I wish you all the absolute best. And Walter, good luck next week as you welcome some of those returning citizens into the new world of jobs and entrepreneurship and the like. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, March 20th. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag at WHURFM. Also, for the very latest on school closings and any delays tomorrow, you can find them posted on WHURFM. That's our on our website on WHUR.com. So now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.